Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the issue today of Christian persecution. Christians are being persecuted on a global basis. We've talked about that. Christians are being persecuted in America today. Many times it's subtle. Many times there is a mindset, even among Christians, pastors, and leadership, and among the Christian in the pew, as I call it, that we need to just be silent, not worry about it, and it'll go away. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that's what God would have us to do. The scripture reminds us, and Jesus saying, the world is going to hate us because it hated Christ. And the scripture is very, very clear. If we are in the world as a Christian, Jesus said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And that is in 1 John 3:13. And in John chapter 15, verse 18, the Lord Jesus himself had already said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. We're talking about the fact that the Christian is hated today. And I understand that from a Christian perspective, we like to think that somehow, some way, everybody's supposed to love us, and somehow, some way, because we're serving Jesus, that the world's going to love us. Ladies and gentlemen, the world hates us and does not love us. This is the reason, by the way, it's so onerous to find so many churches, so many denominations today that water down the gospel and include secular rock music. They call it contemporary Christian music in the churches, and it's designed to get the churches, get the world to come into the church rather than the church permeating society. It's because there is a sense that we've given up as Christians on permeating society, and we're inviting the world to come into the church. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just completing, just before the news break, that House Bill 5, now Senate Bill 788, if passed, will absolutely destroy the Christian voice, Christian religious liberties, and freedom of speech. It is something that is very onerous, but yet it is very, very real. May I remind us, we are facing the staring, glaring examples of in-your-face Christian persecution right here in America today. Yet over the fake media, you'll not hear anything about it, only silence. The social media, sometimes known as Google and Facebook and Twitter and the other media outlets, social media outlets, all censoring Christian and conservative free speech. Here's an article that validates that, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you've been on Google. I don't know if you do much research on Google. I have. And many times you can try to chase down an article, chase down an event, especially if it deals with Christian persecution, or if it deals with Islamic persecution, or if it deals with the Sodomite lifestyle. And many times you'll find that you can't find the article. It says that article is not available, or it simply will carry you to a total different strand or thread of articles that has no relationship to what you're searching for. And it's because of what Google is doing today to discriminate against Christians and to discriminate against conservatives in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, why is Google discriminating against Christians while giving Muslims a free pass? I know that's a provocative question, but read on. This is an article that I'm looking at. Recently, the manager of a Christian ministry for military veterans tried to target his Google ads toward fellow Christians. Doug Ratchow, a celebrated U.S. Marine and a founder of the Mighty Oaks Foundation, simply wanted to advertise his ministry on YouTube, owned and controlled by Google. Instead, he found out something chilling. Google ads informed him, quote, the word Christian was unacceptable. That's right. He even posted a screenshot showing how the word Christian was deemed by Google as advertising policies to the unacceptable content as keyword. So now a company or even a Christian ministry cannot target people based on whether or not they're Christians. The article further says, back to the question, why does Google deem the word Christian to be unacceptable but not Muslim? Further in the article, it says big tech mega monopolies like Google and Facebook, who powerfully influence what tens of millions of Americans read, hear, and therefore think, are dedicated right now to the accomplishment of two very important, very big missions. I'm reading from this article. Number one, to swing the 2020 presidential election against Donald Trump. Number two, to totally and completely delegitimize, deplatform, and silence Christian media voices, voices that represent the majority view in America and that reliably inform the public about what is really going on in this great but besieged nation. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. They have twofold plan in Google and YouTube. They've already made their brags that they're going to control the 2020 election. They want to remove Donald J. Trump. That's number one. Number two, this article says, and to totally and completely, hear the words, delegitimize, deplatform, and silence Christian media voices, the voices that represent the majority view in America and that reliably inform the public about what is really going on in this great but besieged nation. Now, I don't know about you, but that's chilling. That is chilling to understand that in today's society, where the overwhelming majority of us use some type of media outlet, social media, Google, YouTube, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the people in America today and around the globe depend on that for intercommunication, for communication with friends, families, neighbors, and relatives, depend on that for getting the word out, the message out, et cetera, et cetera. Many churches and many religious organizations depend on that through the social media to get the word out about the church times, the meeting times, and a special guest, et cetera, infinitum, et cetera. But we do not realize, ladies and gentlemen, but the door is closing, the window is closing, the shade is coming down on the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have in the United States of America today. Remember, our First Amendment says Congress shall make no law representing the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I have said for months and months and months now, I believe it's time for the federal government to step in and break up these monopolies that control religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and the conservative voice in the United States of America. I believe it's time that the government will do what they did to AT&T back in the early 80s when they broke them up and formed the multitude of smaller companies. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're at a position today when social media is in control of the political voice, the social voice, the Christian voice in America. And what they say and what they do, it makes a total determination on what our voice will be able to do as far as being able to be heard and being seen in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article about Google. Google engineer goes public, spills the beans. Listen, I want you to hear this headline. Google engineer, he's a whistleblower, ladies and gentlemen. Google engineer goes public, spills the beans on Hunt, H-U-N-T, for Christians. Did that soak in? Did you hear what I just read? Google engineer goes public, spills the beans on Hunt for Christians. In an open letter distributed Tuesday, a Google software engineer described a company culture of left-wing outrage mobs who used the tech giant's anonymous-based reporting channels to shut down conservative, social, Christian, and political thought. Mike Wacker, writing on Medium, warned that if left unchecked, these outraged mobs will hunt down any conservative, any Christian, any independent free thinker at Google who does not bow down to their agenda. Let me read that again. This man, this whistleblower, warned that if left unchecked, speaking of Google, YouTube, etc., if left unchecked, these outraged mobs will hunt down any conservative, any Christian, any independent free thinker at Google who does not bow down to their agenda. Speaking of the liberals at Google, their agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ask the question, why is all this relevant? Why is all of this important? Why should we care? The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, is Francis Schaeffer's statement, how should we then live? How should we respond? How should we live? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we must wake up, stand up, and speak up, and not shut up if we're to preserve our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, and constitutional rights. Unfortunately, many Christians, even pastors, will advocate silence on the part of believers. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, a well-known voice for the Calvinist movement in America, now retired Baptist pastor out of Pennsylvania, says to his membership and to those that he responds to by social media, don't you ask me as pastor, don't you expect me as pastor to say anything about politics or the political movement or what's happening in society. I'm simply going to tell people about Jesus. End quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that sounds pious. but that's a platitude that's not biblical. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, if you study the biblical record, you'll find that Peter, after being beaten, thrown in prison, and threatened and intimidated simply because he was a street preacher, you find in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts in verse 29, after Peter had been beaten and thrown in prison, chided, challenged, demanded that you can't preach openly anymore, you can't get out of the public and preach the gospel anymore, you can't tell people about Jesus anymore, Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the stand we ought to take today. We ought to obey God rather than man. And I'm not saying now anarchy against America and the American system and our rules and regulations and laws that we have in our land. But ladies and gentlemen, what did Paul do? What did Peter do when they were threatened with silence? May I remind us, Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And may I say that ought to be the stand that we take. It ought to be on the basis of what does the Word of God say? What would God have us to do? Going back to the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Daniel, in the sixth chapter this time, in Daniel 6, when Daniel was told that he couldn't pray to anybody, any person, any God except the king in that day, and he realized that his life was in the lurch. He understood that if he disobeyed that law, he could be put to death. He understood what the law meant, the teeth in the law. What did Daniel do according to Daniel, the sixth chapter, the 10th verse? Did he wring his hands? Did he hide in the closet? Did he shut up? No. The scripture says he prayed as he had aforetimes. That is, he prayed every day, morning, noon, and night. And according to the scripture in the book of Daniel, the sixth chapter, his windows being opened toward Jerusalem so that everybody could look in and see, all of his detractors, all of the political correctness crowd, all of the Google and the Yahoo and the YouTube and the Facebook and social media crowd, if you please, if you'd apply today's current standards, they were all looking on. When Daniel bowed down and prayed, he was disobeying the law of the land, but he was obeying God. And as a result of that, he was cast into the lion's den. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, Daniel had a lion for a pillow, a lion for a footstool, and he slept like a baby because he had obeyed God. But he took the stand visibly, verbally, and he did not bow to political correctness. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today. I want us to notice a whole host of other examples of Christian persecution, but this time I want us to notice what's happening in America with Christian persecution. We've talked about that, which Google is doing, and YouTube and Facebook and others. Most of you are familiar with that. They claim that it's based on an algorithm that is used. Well, ladies and gentlemen, human hands has to key out the data that forms the algorithm that makes those words like Christian, Christianity, and church, and God, and Jesus, makes those things come about. It's not just a matter of some happenstance. It's not by some robotic artificial intelligence that it happens. It is human programming that causes the algorithm that allows it to happen. And again, I go back to the resounding statement that I believe it's time the federal government break them up and not allow this to control our religious liberties and the freedom of speech and interfere with our First Amendment right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article we're talking about now. What's happening in America? I'll digress occasionally and give you other illustrations, but what's happening in America that shows us, proves to us, that we're faced with persecution? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Feel free to call 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that you can join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you disagree. Perhaps you think that Christians are not persecuted in America. I'd love to hear from you if you think that. If you have faced persecution in school, in some professional position that you're in as a result of being a Christian, I'd love to hear about it. You don't have to give your name. Simply, I want to hear what's taking place, that we can listen to it and understand that we're talking about real persecution of Christians in America in the 21st century. Here's an article that says, Judgment Day for a professor who wants to kill all Christians. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You're hearing me right. This is from a professor right here in America, professor that says he'd like to kill all Christians. And yet you've not heard the fake media say anything about it. It's not been on the news. It's not been on the 6 o'clock news, not even on Fox. This article says apparently officials at Iowa Community College aren't comfortable with professor threatening to clock President Trump with a baseball bat and bury all evangelical Christians deep in the ground. Jeff Klinsman, who taught English at Kirkwood Community College in Cedar Rapids, wrote that he wants to, quote, stop evangelical Christians, STOP, stop evangelical Christians, and kill them all and bury them deep in the ground. The article further says, it's not pretty, and I'm not proud, the professor wrote, but seeing what evangelical Christians are doing to this country and its people fills me with rage and a desire to exact revenge on each of them and kill them and bury them deep in the ground. Would you have ever thought that would be coming out of a professor in a classroom? Can you imagine the parents that pay good money for a student to go to a classroom like that? And for a student, perhaps as Christian, sitting in the classroom and have to endure that kind of statements and that kind of conversation? A professor at a public university, the Iowa Community College, a tax-funded, tax-paid-for, tax-underwritten, public-funded college with a professor that has gall enough, brazen enough to make that kind of statement. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how many of them feel, whether they say it or not. This happens to be one that stated that he would like to clock Trump and to bury evangelical Christians deep in the ground. If that's not open, in-your-face Christian persecution, nothing in the world is. If you don't believe that this is enough, I could close my case and make the charge to the jury to ask the question today, do we have Christian persecution? And if you don't see that, if you don't understand that, even now, there's something wrong with your thinking and with your rationality. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing Christian persecution, and it on a rampant basis, and it is increasingly so in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Student expelled from university for quoting the Bible. Student expelled from university for quoting the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, if a student's in the classroom and he simply quotes the scripture and gets expelled, there's a horrific danger to the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have in our nation. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I thank you for telling the truth. And persecution is growing by the day. I witness Christ to anybody I can. I went in a local convenience store. There was a young lady there in her early 20s. She had her head shaved off like a man and had men's trousers on with the zipper in front. And I politely explained to her that she could wear all the men's clothes she wanted to wear. She could cut her hair like a man. But her gender was still of that of her birth certificate. And it was lunchtime, and I had my uniform with my company's name on it. The manager of the convenience store called my employer, and I was laid off 2 days with no pay and told if I did it again, I'd be dismissed. But I'm not going to shut up for Christ because I know he's going to take care of me.
Absolutely.
We are in the days of persecution. And if you stand up for Christ, you better be willing to take the heat.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard our caller talk about what had taken place simply because he, as a Christian, made a statement, a comment. Now, if that had been reverse of that, if that had been a sodomite, had that been a Islamic person saying that to a Christian, there would have been nothing said or done. But as a result of his simply asking a question and making a statement with freedom of speech, he was summarily docked. He was laid off from work. His pay was docked. And if that's not Christian persecution, nothing is. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Christian persecution today. We're talking about the Christian being persecuted, and the question is asked, should Christians hide in the closet? Should we be silent? How should we respond? Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, designers refuse to be at a conference if Christians are there. Dallas-Fort Worth chapter of the American Institute for Graphic Arts makes a big deal about inclusion with pages long statement concerning its passionate conversations about ethnicity, gender, race, ability, disability, and age. But its policy of inclusion apparently goes only so far. That became clear after AIGA declared it would not participate in a design conference unless a Christian speaker was excluded. A Christian speaker, ladies and gentlemen, as you read the totality of this article, was included in the conference, and they were demanding that that Christian speaker be excluded from the conference or they would not appear in the conference themselves. That's Christian persecution. That's on the face of it, Christian persecution, and saying, if you're Christian, you do not have room at the table. If you're Christian, you do not have any voice at the table. It's like Joy Bayard on The View that comes on television, that garbage program, where she laughs at, mocks, and demeans Christians. She laughed and mocked at President Pence because he talked about talking to Jesus. She mocked and made fun. That's Christian persecution in your face. That's open in your face, verbal, visible persecution. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Beto, that's the nickname given to O'Rourke that's running for United States president out of the Socialist Democratic candidacy field. Beto campaign crowd boos. That's B-O-O-S, booze, man, advocating God and prayer. A man at a town hall event in South Carolina for 2020 Democratic hopeful Beto O'Rourke was booed for urging Americans to return to God and return to prayer in schools in response to an epidemic of mass shootings. Quote, this is an individual now, has the microphone at the meeting place, and he speaks. And he says this, I grew up with goals. I'm the son of an immigrant. We prayed in school. The worst problem in school was chewing gum and putting chewing gum under the desk. The man said when he was given the microphone at the Seminar Brewing Company in Florence, South Carolina on Tuesday. Members of the audience responded with boos. One jeered, it's 2019. Another member in the audience said, nobody wants to hear from you. Give the mic back. Another one continued. The only thing that can save America, this man said, is Jesus Christ. Further angered the crowd, of course. One yelled, separation of church and state, an O'Rourke supporter said. Another one said, shut up, go to church, leave, put the microphone back, give the microphone to someone else. That's open in your face Christian persecution being voiced by the general populace of their disdain, their dislike, their disregard for Christians and for anything the Word of God says. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says landlord sued for banning Bible study in a retirement center. The owners of a retirement center in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Would you know in Virginia? Same place where the governor says it's all right to murder a baby, even after birth. Fredericksburg, Virginia, who was accused of banning a retired pastor from holding Bible study in his own residence and were put under investigation by federal government, are now being sued. The management company's hostility to religious residents violates federal laws and taints Virginia's longstanding history of religious freedom, the article states. He is being now represented by First Liberty Institute, filing suit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed in this broadcast today. You may ask the question, what should Christians do? How should we respond? Listen very carefully. You might say, well, I wouldn't have thought a preacher would say that. Let me say something very, very definitively. If that takes place and there is a provability of what has happened, that it is open, flagrant discrimination against a Christian, find a constitutional lawyer that will handle the case pro bono, that's without fees, and file suit against the city, the state, the federal government, the municipality, the organization, the university, the company, or any organizational, if you please, focus that is in any way discriminated against you as a Christian. I think it's time we stand up and speak up. The Apostle Paul in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians says, having done all, stand. And that's talking about putting on the armor, putting on the whole armor. And we don't bend and we don't bow and we don't burn. We do not run. We dig in our heels and stand. And I believe that's what God will have Christians do today. And that's what being salt and light means. It means we stand. We do not fail or falter or fumble. We simply, by faith, continue to stand and do what God has called us to do. Here's an article. It's not from America. It's from Australia, but it makes the point. Sports star loses $4 million contract for posting a Bible verse. Rugby Australia star whose $4 million contract was canceled simply because he posted a biblical verse warning that hell would await drunkards, homosexuals, and adulterers is considering a lawsuit over the decision targeting his Christian faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where I'm headed. That's what I'm wanting to understand. I have talked about the discrimination against Christians, the persecution against Christians on a global basis. We're talking about what's happening in the United States of America, even as we speak. And one of the things that must be done, we must take a stand as Christians. Here's an article that validates my statement. Mall sued for demanding $250 to hand out gospel tracts. A California woman is suing a shopping mall for requiring her to pay a $250 fee each time she hands out gospel tracts in the mall. However, mall security officers accused her of soliciting and said she was given a retailer application and told she must submit the application and pay a fee of $250 each time she wanted to hand out a gospel tract. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Back in the 80s, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on the concourses in malls, open malls around the nation. If a mall allows anyone of anything to hand out flyers and invitations and information or post them on the marquee, the public marquee in the mall, it is then considered free space and religious liberties and freedom of speech are exercised. And the Supreme Court said that you can do that. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, you can go into a mall, and if you were to pass out a tract, the mall owners want to tell you you can't do that. Look very carefully. Find out if they're allowing others to pass out any documents, any information, any solicitation. If they're doing that, they cannot discriminate and persecute against you because you're a Christian. You remember the article we talked about two or three weeks ago, the word Lord stripped from the monument offering prayer for officers in Tigger Cay, South Carolina, where the word Lord was extracted from the monument simply because it was Lord and referred to a spiritual thing. That is Christian persecution, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says police officer fired for following the Billy Graham rule. A North Carolina police officer is suing the religious discrimination after he said that he was fired for refusing to spend extended time with a woman who isn't his wife, a practice commonly known as the Billy Graham rule. His name is Torres, 51 years old, worked as a deputy for the Lee County Sheriff's Department for 5 years when his boss asked him to train a female deputy in 2017. Torres requested a religious accommodation and not do that, and he was fired as a result of refusing to do that. He said as a Baptist, he serves as a deacon in his local church, and he said he would not allow himself to be put in a sinful position like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the need for us to stand. The Bible has been banned in the classroom. Prayer is banned in the classroom. And we are facing Christian persecution. We need to, having done all, stand and return and say, we will not be put into a closet and be silenced. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to next time as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.